Father, we come to you again and thank you for not only the time of the year, but every day you give to us, Lord. One day before long, we're going to be home. But until that day comes, we have to wait upon you, serve you, and ask through faith to give us what is needed to understand your will in this life. Dear Father, we thank you so much for loving us. We understand a little bit about that love as we look at Calvary. And though it's something we can't grasp entirely in these physical bodies, we understand enough to know that it's true. And we know that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. And we thank thee there's a day that many of us receive him as our personal Savior. We're unashamed of that. And we thank you for this book, the Holy Bible, that we can go to and have the mind of God revealed to us by His Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Be seated and take your Bibles and turn to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. Now, I know it's a Sunday before Christmas, but you know, this last couple of years has been tough on a lot of folks. And then there have been others who've been either tougher because they've lost their loved ones, or very sick, or have some problems that they've had to wait on God to work through it out to get them to where they're at today. And so as we go into the Christmas season today, the Lord seemed to lead in a direction to talk about something about where we live at. And I called this simply, what is it that pleases God? What is it that pleases God? I don't know about you, but if God can be pleased, I want to find out how. Hey, ladies and gentlemen, He's done so much for you and I. That ought to be your motto or thought or desire. Lord, if you can be pleased, great as God is, if He can be pleased by us in this little planet Earth and the boondocks of the universe in our Milky Way, and we are as dust, less than specks of dust to the universe, surely we ought to find out how He should be pleased. By the way, I'll tell you this, we don't please in the way we want to. It just don't work that way. We have to ask Him and look at Him and ask Him to give us instructions about how it is to please Him. I was thinking about Christmas time. Everybody wants to be pleased by hopefully getting something that somebody else will be pleased when they get it. I heard these two ladies one time having a cup of tea. And as they were talking about their husband. And they're talking about what they're going to get for Christmas time. And one lady said something like this. She said, you know, I do wish that Leroy, my husband, would give me a Christmas present by just quit biting his nails. He bites his nails all the time. And that'd be a great Christmas present to me if he just quit biting his nails. And this other lady said, well, you know, my husband Elroy, you don't have to ask that at Christmas time. I can tell you how to fix that. She said, I want you to know I broke my husband's habit real quick like. She said, well, please tell me, what did you do? She said, I hid his false teeth. Amen. Well, some things are simple. Some things are not simple. And here in the book of Hebrews chapter 11, if you look down about verse 5 and 6, we start out, and I want to read verse 1 Corinthians 10 and go to 1 Corinthians 1 for just a moment. Here it says, by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death. Enoch. Now, this story that this writer is talking about happened 5,000 plus years ago. And he said Enoch was translated. The word translated means to change from one plan or condition to another. In this case, we know that Enoch was translated from this position in life to be where God's at. Scripture just tells us, as we go back over to Genesis chapter 5, 22, 23, 24, along there, that Enoch walked with God and was not, for God took him. Notice now, by faith, Enoch was translated. Now, we've always said, in talking about faith, in these days, people talk about faith and faith. That's not what it's talking about. Faith always has an object. And when you talk about faith in God, God is the object. And so here, what Enoch was doing, let's walk around and say, boy, faith and faith, well, that's it. No, he had faith in God. And it amazes me as I read the record, because he didn't have the Word of God like you and I have it today. He didn't have the New Testament. He didn't have the Old Testament. But he knew who God was. God revealed himself to him, and Enoch walked with God, and it was such a blessing for him, I know, on this earth, and yet at the same time, he had some problems, I'm sure, but it amazes me that God would take him out, never have to go through the exodus of death. He was actually taken out as he was, and no doubt the Lord did something. The body he was in had to be rearranged a little bit to be in the presence of God. But at this time it says again, that he should not see death, and was not found. Why? Because God had translated him, changing from one condition or place to another. Why? For before his translation, watch this, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Now, folks, you write it down. Enoch pleased God. It's documented in God's Word. He pleased God. We don't know all that he did, but I'll tell you this. For God to write it down, he did everything God asked him to do most of the time, if not all the time. He had some problems, I'm sure, because he's in a body of flesh. But again, he pleased God. Then he said in verse 6, without faith is impossible to please God. So we know whatever happened, faith was involved with it in the sense of believing that God did and would do and did do what he said he'd do. He said, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Now, here is where we find 5,000 plus years ago, a man pleased God. Now turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And we'll just read quickly first five verses. Here we're talking about a nation now. Been brought out of the land of Egypt. Here's a nation called Israel. Moreover, brethren, I would not that you be ignorant how that our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea and were baptized into Moses in the sea and in the cloud and in the sea. Of course, he's using the word baptized here as they went through the waters there at that time. And he said, they did all to eat the same spiritual meat and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. Interesting, isn't it? A lot of symbolic language there and typology language back there as you see what was happening. But watch in verse 5. But with many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now, here's another time, after Enoch, many years later, where God redeemed a nation, a whole nation, brought them out of the land of Egypt. They saw the partings of the Red Sea. They saw the pillar of fire and the cloud that led them by day and night. And so now, he said, but there's many of these. We know that all of those 20 years old and older died wandering in the wilderness. Why? He said that God was not well pleased. So there are some ways to please God, and there are some ways that God says, I'm not pleased. Now, turn with me, if you will, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and then we'll go into the body of the message. In verse 21, Paul says to the church at Corinth, for afterward that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. Now watch the situation. In this world, by wisdom, they refused to believe God. And their wisdom made them think that they knew more than God. And since God could not be seen and everything is by faith, then they looked at it through their own intelligence and through their own thinking that they were somewhat higher, since they were higher than anything else that God had made as far as they seen, except angels, and most of them hadn't seen that. And so at this particular time, they looked at anything that said about God as foolish. But then here, watch this. Then he says, it pleased God. Say it with me. It please God. Why? By the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Now listen, this morning, as you sit here, listen to me preach, and as I have studied this week to bring a message, and this has been working on for weeks now, it amazes me there's a lot of folks that's out here in the world today looking at this as absolutely foolish waste of time. It's a waste of time to go hear a man give a lecture or holler or whatever they want to call it. It's a waste of time for you to come and spend an hour or two here on Sunday, and another, some of you spend 2, 3, and 4 hours because you're doing so many different things and with the choir and specials. And they say that's a foolish thing because they don't have no concept who God is or what it's about. But God said to the church at Corinth, which is the most carnal church there was, that it pleased him to say, it pleased God by the foolishness of it. It didn't say foolish preaching, but by the foolishness of preaching as they look at it. He says to save them that believe. Now, I want to speak to you on what is it then that pleases God. Let me ask you the question. Do you think it pleases God for you to win the lottery? Do you think that it pleases God for you to win a political, or someone to win a political election somewhere or another? Do you think that it pleases God for you to win the publishing house sweepstakes? Now, some people say, well, God could do that. But ladies and gentlemen, I don't think that pleases God. Anybody can win that if they're lucky enough, if your name's drawn. You say, but God can make your name. Yeah, he could, but why should he do something that he's against? Well, can he help someone get elected? He sure could. But, you know, God's involved in raising up nations and letting nations fall. I'll assure you of that, because he's got a plan and purpose. But I don't think if that's what pleases God, we're in a mess. Because I'll tell you what, something that pleased God is going to put somebody in position somewhere or another, unless he's got some reason to chastise another nation. So if he's going to put somebody in position, he's going to put somebody in there that pleases him, that won't please him. So I'm trying to get you to think. I heard where the fella had a bumper sticker, and he said, please, God, let me prove to you that winning the lottery won't spoil me. Amen. But a lot of folks think that's it. But ladies and gentlemen, get down. This is not what I see in the scripture that God said pleased him. On the other hand, God can be pleased. Matthew chapter, I just read verses, Matthew chapter 3, verse 17, Matthew chapter 17, verse 5, Mark 1, verse 11, 2 Peter 1, verse 17. All of those verses tells us that Jesus Christ, who's the Son of God, God his Father said, this is my beloved Son, whom I am well pleased. Now you look at him. If you want an example of someone that God says I'm well pleased, look at Jesus Christ. Now what did he do? I'll tell you what. He didn't win the lottery. But he did have power to go catch a fish and find a piece of gold in his mouth. You see, we've got a concept of things that there's a lot of things that God's involved in because we want it. But when you're talking about pleasing God, it goes different than that. 1 Corinthians 1:21, it pleased God to foolishly preach, save them that believe. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 1, it said it pleased God for those to walk in him. In Colossians 3, verse 20, it pleased God when children obey their parents. Isn't that interesting? Interesting. And I thought about, for 50 years, I've walked along among the sick and afflicted, death, people who had problems in life, and I've heard them say over and over, even I, when I've faced some things in life, I've asked the question, why? But I've had the question asked over and over in many different atmospheres, when people face things, why, preacher, why? Why? Why has this happened? Why? What has taken place? What have I done? You begin to ask the question in a variety of ways because you're looking at an answer and you don't have an answer at all. There's not many of us that have been there. Maybe you have asked the question yourself. I know this, to fellowship with God is to grow in faith. And I know to grow in faith is not many times to give us our desires and our wants, but to supply our needs. And I know this, we grow a lot faster when we're weak than we do when we're strong. We will contact God greater when we're sick than they are when things are well. We get too busy sometimes other than table grace. And I'm telling you something this morning that will help us get through this Christmas season with a smile, not with a gloom. When we understand how God's positioned us in our life, this side of eternity. To grow in faith will cause us to desire Him, to diligently seek Him. Without faith, He says, it's impossible to please God, Hebrews 11, verse 6. So it seems to me that when you and I know the reason why to something, we no longer find ourselves acting in faith. Why? We already know. Why have faith in something if I know the reason why already? But if I don't know the reason why, I'm going to seek God diligently until He gives me the peace that passes understanding, even if He can't tell me why. And by the way, He's strong enough and powerful enough to do just that. And He will do that for you and I. To know why is not to trust God in something because you already have the answer. Did you know that the knowing God's will, please hear this, and this is really something, hear it carefully. Did you know that knowing God's will is better than knowing God's word? And did you know, ladies and gentlemen, you can't know God, you have to know God's word to know God's will. But when I say that, I say it for this way. But to know God's word without God's will is useless. If we don't act upon what we know, God will never do anything that He could do. There's things that He does. He honors His Word. When His Word is believed, when His Word is trusted, when His Word is looked at as being the absolute authority, God acts upon that. But there's many people today read, memorize the Word, and yet at the same time never find God's will for their life because they don't act upon that which they in turn know. Again, if or when we know why this or that is happening, no faith is present for that anymore because the answer has come. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. And here's how God has put it in this life called time. We have faith. It is faith in Him, faith in His Word, faith in what we know He can do. And then an action life that we look back and reference to as God does certain things to bring us to where we're at. And the older He lets us live and go through the trials of life and look back, it gives us assurance that when we come to a place in the now, at this time in time, God can do what He's done before. I like Dr. Snyder preached a message one time about spreading a table, God spreading His table and the things He could do. And in that, I think He preached a message one time, can God? God can. There's nothing that He can't do. And even though we're where we're at sometimes, we have questions. I know this. It pleases God for us to trust Him. That's the reason I wrote that little booklet, Trusting God or Not. God has a plan for His children. Now hear this. He has a plan for His children. In His plan, He allowed Abel to be slain by his brother. We don't understand that. You can't. There's no way you can give a definition to that. You say, well, it's God's will. Well, that's good for words, but you don't know all behind what's going on there. We just know the evil rose up against in a family and slew the brother. In His plan, He allowed Enoch to be translated, or He did the acts of translation. Again, in His plan, He allowed Paul to die on the chopping block of Rome. In His plan. Notice He allowed. In His plan, He allowed John to live at an old age and die on out of a Patmos. Now, ladies and gentlemen, what I'm saying to you, don't you think that it pleased God for these men to believe God to even give their life for Him? Don't you think it pleased God for them to do that? Why would you think that they come to the place and Paul's fixing to have his head chopped off and he's, why God, why God, why God, why God, why God? He may have had that to some degree because of the flesh. But I want to tell you one thing, ladies and gentlemen. He trusted God to the very end. He's the one that said to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. He's the one that promised us there's more to life than in this particular life we're in now. He's the one in that particular day who trusted God as an example, and I guarantee you it pleased God. If there's ever been a time, well, to win the lottery, it pleased God for Paul to lose his head. You know why? Paul didn't back up because he saw death. He didn't back up because of fear. He says, God, in my mind, if I could paraphrase this, he said to God the Father in some form of fashion, if Jesus Christ loved me enough to die for my sins, then I ought to love Him enough to die for Him, if that's what my lot calls in life. That's the reason Peter, realizing what had happened when he denied the Lord Jesus Christ at the campfire that night after Christ was had been arrested, and later in life he was going to be crucified, and he didn't want to be crucified upright. So tradition has it, he asked, let me be crucified upside down, for I'm not worthy to be crucified even like my Savior. I'm talking about, what is it that pleases God? What is it? Give me two quick points. Number one, who is it that has not cried out in some weary, despondent circumstance these words, my God, what is the meaning of this? What is going on in my life? Everything was so, seemed to be up aboard and going so well, and then suddenly it completely collapsed. Everything has gone against me, seemed like, for a period of time. And I've been there myself, even to the point of death. Why? I run across a poem a few years ago that I had cut out, and I have it today that a preacher wrote. And this poem is called Why. And in this poem, I have been literally, in most of these cases, not all of these cases, but most of these cases, I have as a pastor, have been just exactly where this poem, it says why. Let me read it to you. It says, I have sat beside a teeny crib and watched the baby die as parents slowly turned towards me to ask, "Pastor, please tell me why. I've held the youthful husband's head and felt death heaved and high." And I with her looked through tears and said, "Pastor, please tell me why. I've seen a golden star mother weep and hold a picture nigh her lovely breast and softly ask, why, Pastor, why? Oh, please tell me why. I've walked away from a baby land where stillborn babies lie. And a mother stretched her empty arms out and asked, Pastor, please tell me why. I've heard the cancer patient say, 'Tis gain for me to die,' then look into the daughter's face and mutely whisper, 'Why? Why? Why?' I've seen a father take his life and a widow stand nearby as little children say, 'Dear mom, go to the preacher, he'll tell me why.' I've seen a mother stand beside two teeny graves and cry, and though she never let me know, I knew she wondered why. I've heard an orphan faintly say, who gazed into the sky, though mom and dad have gone away, the preacher will know why. I tiptoe to my father's throne, so timid and so shy, to say, 'Dear God, some of your own are wanting to know why.' And I heard him say so tenderly, 'Their eyes I'll gladly dry. Though they must look through faith today, tomorrow they'll know why. If now they find the reasons that their hopes have gone awry, in heaven they'll miss the joy of hearing me tell them why.' And so I found it pleased him when I can testify, I'll trust my God to do what's best in my life and wait to find out why." I'll tell you this, God will answer every question one day when we get on the other side. In Job chapter 1 verse 11, Satan said in so many words, "God, take Job's blessing away from him and he'll curse you to the face." But we know the story. According to Job 1:21, Job did not utter a foolish thing against God. As a matter of fact, he blessed God. "Bless be," he said, "the Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. Bless be the name of God." This pleased God. Did you know that, folks? Amen. This, I'm talking about something that pleases God that we never think about much in life. But this pleased God. A mother turns from a child's grave and cries, "Dear God, I don't understand why, but I'm going to trust you every step of the way." I want you to know that pleases God. When you see someone say that they're going to, you know, they have a young person that died, which I bear a number of young people in the last 50 years. A young person that dies. And the parent said, "I don't know why, God. I don't know why, God. But I know this. I'll trust you." That pleases God. I'm talking about that which pleases God. It pleases God when a husband and a wife have just buried their mate. And they say, "Dear God, I have a lot of questions. I don't know why, but I'm trusting you in this. And one day the tears will be wiped away. And one day I'll understand why." And I guarantee you, you will if you're saved. You will if you're saved. I read a true story recently where there was a fella that was blind. And he had some disease and he was dying. Had his family in the room, and he said to his wife, he said, "I trust you, Lord," as he talked to the Lord. And suddenly he turned to his wife and he said, "Mary, when I breathe my last breath, you take these dark glasses off of my eyes. Don't you bury me with these dark glasses on before, because where I'm going, I won't need them no more." Amen. I'd have shouted if I'd been there then, I guarantee you, because that's exactly right. It pleases God when one is racked in pain and they just trust God. It pleases God. Hey, I'll guarantee you, folks, there's more faith when you just trust God than when you ask for material things. There's more faith when I just trust God, simply trust God. If you read that little booklet, you'll find out that this is something many years ago God laid on my heart over and over again. I put in that booklet about trusting God. And one minute, next day, you may have a lapse of faith or something, but you just have to trust God. You have to trust God when you have faith. You have to trust God when you feel bad. You have to have trust God when you begin to ask why. Because you will ask that in the lowest of a moment. Lord, why? 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 The body's made just that way. It pleases God when we trust Him in spite of our burdens and our troubles and our trials and our heartaches. If I knew why and everything, I would miss a great chance to please God in that circumstance as we walk by faith. Faith would not be needed if I understood it all. And if I know why, if I already knew why, then certainly God had answered that somewhere down the road. So most have cried, God, why? What's the meaning of this? And I think God as a loving Father understands that, because we can't see what He sees. The second thing I want you to notice about this, what is that pleases God, is number two, to know why now would destroy the joy of finding out why one day in the future. In John chapter 13, verse 7, Jesus told Peter this. He said to him something like, in so many words, that there are some things you can't know now, but you will know and be able to know in the hereafter. There are some things that I can know right now. Do you know that? Ladies and gentlemen, I know this in 1 John chapter 5. God said this in verse 13. These things have I written unto you that believe in the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that you have eternal life. No hope so about that. No playing around a bush. Hey, my soul's too important to play around a bush with it. That you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. That's what God said through John in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 13. Not only that, in Acts 4:12, we know that Jesus saves. We find where Jesus said in John, 14. My mind went blank. I'll just read it to you. Yeah, John 14:6. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. I know that. The Bible says in Acts 4:12 that there's no other name given among men under heaven whereby we must be saved. Amen. You see, there are some things I can't know. There may be some things I can't know that happens to me in this life that even though it's not, I can't find it documented in the Word of God, but I can find a promise made that where God has made a promise that one day He will reveal the whole thing to you and I. Again, no one likes to exchange or wants to exchange pleasure and health and riches to lost pain, disease, and problems. No one likes that type of exchange. We do not willingly submit to that which we do not understand. We have anxiety about that. I've told you to start with. You're feeling pretty good right now. Don't tell me. If you get home in a few minutes, in about an hour from now, and you get a phone call that one of your children just got killed or something has happened desperate in your family, it will throw you a flip for a few minutes. You'll wonder, God, what in the world has happened? I can't believe this. It's not this. Things going too well. What am I? And suddenly you're throwing the flip. And God will take a little time of that word in your heart to bring you around. And He will. It's amazing what you go talk to someone when something happens and then a few days later, or maybe a week or so later, go back and say, you know, it's amazing what God has shown me. But at that moment, you can't see it. Isn't God loving? He's tender. He's loving and He's tender. He shows mercy to us. And He understands we're made of dust. He understands even we're children of God. There's things that breaks our heart. Even Jesus stood outside of Lazarus' tomb, who He loved, knowing He's going to raise him from the dead. And He wept as a man. And so again, we do not willingly submit to that which we don't understand. We're committed to work for the end of that which is happiness and joy. We don't commit ourselves to work towards the end of that which is pain and disaster or disease-wise. When we are buffed by pain and disease and such, we complain. We're just little children. Not me. I'm a grown man. If you're saved, you're just a child. Hopefully you've grown some. But God is our Father. We're children. And I'm telling you this, I don't care how much we grow in the Lord, there comes something in your life, you'll have to come back just as a little child. Not understanding, but as a child of God, come and say, Father, I thank Thee I can come to Your throne. I thank Thee that I can come and dress You, not only as my God, but as my Heavenly Father. As a child, please help me. If I can't get the answer, help me understand a little bit about it. One day when we get to heaven, we'll ask this question, I believe. Something happened in our life, we didn't get it all here, and we get to heaven one day, and we'll say, God, is this why? Is this the reason why? I can't believe that. This is amazing. Will I be? Ha, ha, ha. I can't believe that. It is literally amazing to what God saw, and we didn't see. It will be amazing what God saw. The only thing we can see, the circumstances. But He saw everything about that and beyond that. He saw what it would do for us and how close we'd get to Him. I read a story where, a true story happened where a preacher had two sons and a daughter and his wife, and they were going somewhere about a week or two before Christmas. And somehow or another had an accident. I don't know all about the accident. But the wife and the child died. And the two sons and the dad stayed in the hospital for about a week. Anyhow, a few days before Christmas, they got out. And they went home and said as they walked around on Christmas Day, they were just weeping in the house. He said he walked out in that night and looked up to the sky. He just prayed to God, Lord, I've served you and I've done so many things, and he listed the thing and all of it was true. I don't understand why my daughter and my wife both were taken. I can't understand that. She was real small, I don't know, 2 or 3 year old, maybe. I don't understand this. And he said, I don't know why I was praying, tears running in my eyes. He said, I looked and I just saw a shooting star or something to take place. And all of a sudden thoughts came to his mind. He said, I didn't hear all of a voice, but God began to bring that peace that passes understanding. And he said, you know, and maybe in his mind God was formulating these words. He said, you know, you miss your daughter and your wife. You had great plans for this Christmas, and you missed your daughter and wife. But what is Christmas about? And in his mind, he said, of course, the coming of the Savior that I'm serving now. And then all of a sudden, he said, a thought came to his mind. Do you know that your wife and little girl is going to have a better Christmas than you have? And all of a sudden, he said, his thought came. Because not only are they worshiping me, you worship me by faith. They're worshiping me by sight. He said, God brought a peace to his heart. He can't explain that where they were at was the best place in eternity that you could be. Amen. And God brought him a peace to his heart. And from there on, he went back in and did what, it didn't mean they didn't miss her, but he had a peace in his heart, as at least when he began to wonder about things that happened, Satan would flash back. You have that peace in your heart. That there is a better place. And God's word is true. And we trust Him just for that. When we get to heaven, we may ask the question, why? But then we'll say, it's amazing what God saw. For years I've walked with Him, and He has answered some of my whys in my life. There have been some times He brought me right from the death doors. One time, especially in 92. But many times there was no answer, but I just had to trust Him. In other words, His time seemingly did not line up with my condition like I wanted it to. And ladies and gentlemen, that's the way it happens sometimes. We want things to line up with our condition to get us better quicker. And I found this out. When I was young, I got well a lot quicker than I do when I get old. Thank God the new creation is new. It's ready to go. This whole body just can't stay up, though. That lets us know. God has to give us a timetable. He lets us know, hey, this thing's going back to the dust. If you can believe me that you in my hands and the new creation in Christ Jesus is going to be absent from the body to be present with the Lord, when this leaves, then believe me that all the way along, if I can take care of you when the last breath is drawn, I can take care of you while you are breathing. And you see some people go through some rough things, but I'll guarantee you, you remember the lady who was paralyzed, what her name was, Julia? She couldn't even from here down, was paralyzed, and she drew and everything she did with her mouth. You remember that? She wrote books and everything else. And one time heard her give a testimony that what happened to her, God gave her a greater insight of doing things than he would have if she'd had all her features in concern at that particular time. I'm talking about what is it that pleases God. Again, many times we will face things in this life. When you cry to God Almighty and say, God help me, but I'm going to trust you, this pleases God. Let me ask you a question. I got time to ask it, haven't I? Amen. Let me ask you a question. Let's suppose that Brother Ken over here, his wife didn't come to church with him this morning. and say that. Now, she's here, by the way, for radio, but I'm just saying that. This is hypothetical. And Brother Ken came to church this morning, went home, and he said to his wife, she said, where have you been? She said, he said, I've been to church today. She said, I don't believe that. I just don't believe that at all. Well, I have. Why won't you believe me? I just don't believe you went to church today. You left too early, too quick, too fast. I just don't believe you went to church. He said, well, I sure did. I can't have you can't believe. She said, what can I do to get you to believe I went to church today? And she said, I'll tell you what. You go down there and get that preacher to sign a note you came. And then you go to Big Al's bar and sign a note you didn't go there. Now, that's putting a preacher in the line with a bar in that era. Won't trust the preacher? And got to have a note from the bar. Now, I give that, and of course, Brother Ken, thank you, let me use you, brother. But I give, the thing about it is, you might do that, but it will not please Ken. Ken might say, okay, if I got to do it to get you to believe me, but it won't please him. You know what would please him? And by the way, Annette would do this, I'm sure. Say, honey, I went to church this morning. She said, I know you did. I believe you. His heart will. Why? Because she simply believed the facts, the truth, which he gave. She didn't know. She had to believe him. And that's all God is asking. Right. Just believe God. Amen. Find the promise. And just believe God. That's all he asks us to do. The Lord is looking at angels at times, I believe, when that happens. And maybe he turns and says something like this, hypothetically. You said you can't prove it, preacher. You can't prove it. It didn't happen. So we're on equal terms. And so the God returned to and a child's been through all kinds of turmoil. Satan has given them everything possible, and they've trusted God. They had some questions. They had some conditions. But they came to God, and they said, it doesn't matter, God. I trust you. I sure love to see it fixed. But I trust you. And I believe there comes a time, even as Job, that God could turn to an angel and say, see there, that's my child. See there? I don't have to do anything for him at all. And he'll still or she'll still trust me. I'm going to do something for him, but they can't see it right now. He or she will still trust me. That pleases God. Keep in mind, those of us who have the biggest burden will have the greatest opportunity to please God. In this life, there is no strength without trial. In this life, there's no wisdom without experience in good and evil. And you and I will experience that in life. In this life, ladies and gentlemen, there's no refinement without pain. There's no progress without hurdles. When we make God our refuge, He becomes our strength. And hear me, ladies and gentlemen, this is true. You see people's success in this life and leave God out of their life. But success without Christ is a failure. Because they will lose it all. I may not know why things happen here, but I'm confident that He knows why. And my Heavenly Father gets ready to tell me when he gets ready to. He'll tell me and I'll listen. I'm going to praise him. But now, I just pray that God give me patience to go through it. And I'm so glad, and I say this off the record because I can't prove it biblically, but I believe the relationship with God is so great as you look at a father-mother-child relationship that even when we come to him and don't understand it and we complain, God, I don't understand this. Please help me. I believe even in complaining, God understands that. Wouldn't you? There's a child, he comes to you, he's crying, and you know not only what has happened, what advantage or disadvantage it was that happened. And he can't, you try to explain, he couldn't understand if he did explain it. So what you have to do is say, son or daughter, you just got to trust me. Trust me, and the time will come, you will understand it, and I would explain it to you. That's what God is saying to you and I as children of God this side of eternity. Literally that. Right now, let me please Him. When my Father gets ready to tell me, I'll listen, but right now, let me please Him by trusting Him. How can I please God? Trust Him. Trust Him. There's a song that goes, trust Him, trust Him. And that's what He asks us to do. As a matter of fact, Proverbs chapter over in chapter 3 of Proverbs, the scripture says this. It said, trust Him, trust in the Lord with all thy heart and lean not unto thy own understanding. Then he says, in all thy ways, he says, acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Isn't that wonderful? In all thy ways, acknowledge him. Lord, I don't like this path, but I acknowledge you, and I trust you. And he tells us to do just that. So no faith is needed if I know why. And to know now why would destroy the joy of finding out why one day in the future. And then we'll hear the Father say, this is why. And then we'll say, that's why? I can't believe this. Why did I fret so much? You see it in this entirely. And you say, well, why can't God give it to me now? Because He wants us to be strong in faith. See, faith is a channel that gets everything to us from Him. And He wants us to be strong in faith. Ladies and gentlemen, it pleases God to just trust Him. My Father, I thank you again today for the Word of God. Lord, we need this in this Christian season as we are in a rat race in a fast lane, so many things happening. Lord, it could be some of us here in this building today before Christmas is over with at the funeral home. You said more than a man wants to die. After that, the judgment. But you all said, while we're here, you've offered eternal life. You so loved the world. You gave your only begotten Son. Dear Father, you set a formula how a person could be saved. You give us instructions through faith, the channel of faith, that we reach the object that God is talking about. Now we're born into the family of God. We thank you for that. We have the Spirit of God living in us. And Lord, it seems like sometimes, even the worst conditions of life, the Spirit kind of lays dormant in us. And the reason for that, it's the Word of God that activates it. He's willing all the time to reveal to us Scripture as we read. We may have to read many chapters to get the verse we need, because there's more to it than just reading it. When that time comes, there'll be a sweet voice speaking to our heart through the Word of God. This is what God says. Trust it. And Lord, we have advantage on Job because we have the completed Word of God. We have it here. We have the Spirit of God living in us. We have the one who wrote, that inspired this book to be written in times and live in us to help us understand it. We thank you for that. Dear Father, there's one here in this building, or listen by the way of radio, if you manage not saved, please let them see how much you love this world, how much Christ loved this world. Became the supreme sacrifice. I told the people last night at the Christmas supper, there must have been a great joy in heaven until the time they learned Christ was coming to the earth. What an amazing thing it must have been to see Him condescend to the level to be born through Mary as a man and see the Son of God who they'd worship, whose spoken worlds were formed now, clothed in a body of flesh. And a mother and a dad has to look after Him, feed Him, change His diapers. All those things that a child goes through that he might understand what we are and where we come from. So when the time was appropriate and right, he'd go to Calvary and pay the sin debt. Thank you for that. As we come to you, we worship you, we adore you, we give you honor and we give you praise. And we thank you that you help us understand when we come to a crisis in life and we ask why. You know it's because we have a broken heart. We don't have the answers. We're deep in a valley. And then the comfort comes as the Spirit of God uses the Word a few hours, a few days. Suddenly we feel the peace of God that passes understanding. And God gives us a complete different view of things until we can see the complete answer. And I thank you for that today. Thank you for Jesus. For it's in His name we approach the throne and ask our prayer. And for His glory, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.